If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, and I. Hey, it's Father's Day, so it's our special day coming up on Sunday. We share some memories for Father's Day with the Busted Open Nation. Speaking of memories, we get into The Undertaker. That's right. The final chapter of The Last Ride is coming up on Sunday. We talk about that, and we also talk about some comments he made about Edge and Orton from Backlash. Also, we get into WWE Backstage from this past Tuesday. They had Bret Hart on, and we talk about some comments he made about his final run in WCW. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. This weekend, Father's Day, Mark
yes.
Henry.
Man, back-to-back weekends, Dave, of pampering and respect. You know, I don't get it no time else the rest of the year, but yeah.
At least you get it in June.
At least in June, I got 2 weeks of loveliness.
Man, I mean, last week, our show here dedicated to Mark Henry. We called it National Mark Henry Day, and it was his birthday. We celebrated some amazing guests, and you know what? Sunday's Father's Day. So, man, I want to hear from the dads. I want to hear from the children. Yeah. You know, I always say it. I've said it in the 11 years that this show's been on the air, Mark, that some of my favorite memories with my dad was at the matches. And some of my favorite memories with my daughter has been at the matches. So, you know, I want to hear from some of the Busted Open Nation members, some of their cherished memories with their dad going to see wrestling, some of, you know, dads out there who have taken their kids to go see wrestling. I love that. With all, like, the craziness that's going on in the world, in and out of the world of pro wrestling right now, you know, I'd love to share some of those stories today. You know what I'm saying? Especially this close to Father's Day.
You know what, man? I wish that my dad was a wrestling fan, because me and my grandmother had so much fun. But I'd love to hear, like, I always tell the stories of my grandmother, like, wiping blood off people going, oh, that's just catch. Wait a minute. That's not catch. He bleeding for real. Everybody look. It's like, it was like the funniest shit that ever happened. And, like, I want to hear those stories from the dads and from kids saying that, you know what, I had this experience with my dad. That'd be a hell of a thing, Jake.
Oh,
Jacob.
Did you just call me Jacob?
Jacob. I've been around that boy so much. I called you Jacob. That's hilarious.
That's amazing. It's so funny that you mentioned.
You're my son today, Dave.
That's okay.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Happy Father's Day, Big Daddy.
I'm not calling you that. No.
Hey, yo.
No, I'm not gonna call nobody Big Daddy.
It's so funny that you said the story about your grandmother with the blood. I remember taking Violetta for the first time to see wrestling. We went to a Ring of Honor show in New York at the Hammerstein Ballroom, and it was the night Kyle O'Reilly won the Ring of Honor World Championship in a match with Adam Cole. And it was, you know, Adam Cole was on his way out, and Kyle O'Reilly became Ring of Honor champion. And he was bleeding. And I saw, and we had just had him on Busted Open earlier that day. He came and he was an in-studio guest. So when I saw him after the match, he gave me a big hug, and he's bleeding. So he gives me a big hug, and I got blood all over me. So I'm walking out of the Hammerstein Ballroom with my wife with blood on me, and she's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, why are you hugging a man who's bleeding like a stuffed pig? Like, what is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? Damn, I'm with Villa.
Can't you just like acknowledge like a little tip of a cap or
maybe even put the two fingers together? You put the two fingers together like this and point it like, good job, man.
Yeah, a thumbs up. I mean, and honestly, that's going to be the way that you greet people from here on out, you know? Like when you see so 10 years from now, like when you see, so you see an old friend on the sheet, just give the thumbs up. Hey.
Or you give them a pat, the high five pat.
Yeah, that's the new thing. I've been seeing that, like the high five without actually touching hands.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the new world, I guess. But no, anyway, but happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Make sure, you know, to all the kids, make sure you pick up the phone and call your dad. This is the weekend to do it. Call up your bop and, you know, say how much of a disappointment you really aren't. You know, do all those things this weekend because that's important.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, that's the thing, man. I have a lot of friends of mine that actually went and smoked cigars with for a post-birthday deal with a friend of mine and his dad. And I was like, man, the dynamic between y'all two is what it's supposed to be. That's the respect for your dad. Your dad is like, you know, saying, well, I did all I could do, and this is what I came up with. I guess I could have did better. You know, like they razz each other, and I respect that, and I love seeing that.
Yeah, for me, I lost my father. Geez, it's 22 years ago now that I lost my dad. So all those memories, especially like I still have the programs that he bought me to all the matches that we went to see. So like I know for me on Sunday, I'll be skimming through all those programs and remembering it. My dad, like you said, your father wasn't a wrestling fan. My father wasn't a wrestling fan either, but he took me and he kind of became a fan by taking me. Like I'll never forget like the first time I seen him leave his, you know, cheer for Hogan when Hogan came out. Eye of the Tiger and Hogan was coming out to wrestle Dr. D. David Schultz. And I was like, oh, wow, my old man's getting into it. So, like, for me, you know, because my dad's no longer around, I know I'll be reminiscing this weekend about those cherished memories. So yeah. I just love stories like that, Mark.
Yeah, a lot of reminiscing.
Yeah, and I want to hear from a lot of our Busted Open Nation member fans because I love the nostalgia when it comes to pro wrestling. So I definitely want to hear some of those stories. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. Give us a call and share some memories. And Mark, you know, on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday to the nation, everything is on the table. We had a very busy week, starting with Backlash on Sunday, a very good Monday Night Raw leading in to now doing our Falls Count Anywhere Friday, Mark. And I know we're going to get into this. We have a brand new segment, Mark, that's starting today at 10 a.m. And Justin Labar is joining us. And you probably know the name. And I don't know, Mark. Do you remember the tight end from the Dallas Cowboys, LaFleur?
Yes.
All the guy did was catch touchdowns. You know, I mean, if you threw a 5-yard out to him, you know, at the 45-yard line, he was going to drop it. But, man, if you threw a pass to him in the end zone, he would catch it.
David LaFleur.
Well, we got our own David LaFleur. We have Justin Labar, who's going to be joining us, because all that guy does is catch touchdowns. And we kind of wanted to have a segment. And this is where things get interesting in the world of pro wrestling, because Mike Mayer came up with this interesting segment about having kind of like a rumor roundup, you know, where we kind of, you know, just, you know, big topics from the course of the week.
From pro wrestling.
Yeah. And I will say this, Justin Labar is somebody that I really respect. You know, there is, you know, a lot of journalists, quote unquote, wrestling journalists out there that just try to grab the headlines. And I'm not calling anybody out, but, you know, I think that's across the board, not just in pro wrestling, but in major sports. But Justin Labar is somebody that I truly think is a very credible insider. So we're going to have that segment at 10 a.m. And I'm really looking forward to doing that this week and moving forward with you, Mark.
You know, I think it's really cool. You know, you watch ESPN, you watch all of the shows, and you always have the sideline reporter, or you have the analysts, you know, the Mike Mayocks breaking yes. down the draft. And that would be really, really cool to have a segment like that because, you know, we're both football fans. You probably can't have this conversation with Bully, but we'll have we'll do some analogies of, you know, what this guy is like and, you know, is what we compare him to. Is this guy like an Aaron Rodgers or is this guy a Ezekiel Elliott type of guy? Well, I mean, maybe not Ezekiel Elliott right now with the COVID, but you want to give comparison people. So, I mean, is it too soon?
No. And, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's got to really prove himself this year because last year, not very good. With having this segment, we very few times, Mark, in the history of Busted Open, have we brought insiders into our circle of friends. So this is also a trying out period to see if he is worthy of being in our circle of friends. Is he one of us? Is he a guy that, you know what, that we would invite to have a beer with? We're going to find, this is a trying out period, okay? If he comes on, he's the shits, then it's one and done.
Yeah. Yeah, get rid of him.
I have a feeling, though, Justin Labar, I know him from outside the world of pro wrestling, so I have a feeling he's going to knock it out of the park today. If I was him, I'd be a little bit nervous, coming on Busted Open with Mark Henry.
Yeah, don't be too comfortable now. Don't be too comfortable. I might have something to say about too comfortable.
Yeah, I know.
He should call you Mr. LaGreca.
No. First of all, I don't think I've ever heard Mr. LaGreca, unless it was, you know, when I go to the doctor's office and the receptionist says Mr. LaGreca. Other than that, I don't think I ever hear Mr. LaGreca. But I will say this. I want to hear from the nation as well, tweeting out at Busted Open Radio, hashtag Justin Labar. Do you like him? Do you not like him? I want to hear from the nation. I know Justin Labar. I have confidence that this segment is going to be awesome. Credible. Justin Labar, the word I would use to describe Justin Labar is credible.
You know what? I that's good, but I would say informative. He's informative, too. I've watched a lot of stuff on him over the last two or three days just to get acquainted with who he is. He's detailed. I like that. It reminds me a lot. Well, golly, Dave, reminds me a lot of you. He's very detailed, and he's also passionate about the things that he talks about. So that's going good. That's good.
This week on World of Basketball, Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Pangos, two former Gonzaga stars, joined the show. And Kevin spoke about the time he dropped 48 points on the Golden State Warriors' Andrew Wiggins.
He gets mad when people say that because he said he was only guarding me for half the game. So, but in high school there was one game we played in a tournament, and it was one of those games that everything was falling. I think I also put up a lot of shots. the highlights don't show that, but yeah, it was one of those games where things were falling and had 48.
New episodes of World of Basketball are available every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
Undertaker talking about Orton and Edge and their match that they had at Backlash. And he said it brought a tear to his eye, and he feels like that's the direction that pro wrestling should go into. And kind of piggybacking from Bully and I's conversation from yesterday about a lot of what we're seeing in pro wrestling, man, I hope The Undertaker's right based on what I saw at Backlash on Sunday. I thought a very good match. I thought that would have been one of... I thought so far it was the best match of 2020. And I can just imagine what that match would have been like with a full crowd in a sold-out arena. But I agree with what The Undertaker said, Mark. I hope that's the direction that pro wrestling's going into.
Dave, there's a lot of guys that can wrestle that style. It's just... it's becoming not popular because of what you see other places. You see all of these young guys flip-flying and just assassinating their bodies. and not telling the story and doing the car crash type match. And they feel like, well, I got to do the same thing. No. Like, just a few days before, excuse me, you saw AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan have a match that told a story. And what did we talk about for the whole month? That the match that Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles had and the match that Edge and Randy had were the two best matches we've seen in a long, long, long time.
Yep.
So the guys and girls need to realize that telling a story and going to a slow build and having things counter and then going into finishes that you might not necessarily, you know, be like Edge and Randy using historical finishes, but you can find other things that you can do that you can, you would think, okay, it's over, but it not be over. So, like, learn how to yo-yo the crowd. And even though the crowd is not in the arena, you have to visualize yourself in a situation where I'm entertaining the people at home. How do I do that? How do I reach the people at home and then go and apply it? It can be done. It's just, it's not popular to do. But doing right sometimes is not popular to do. But you do it anyway. So have the same philosophy, all you young wrestlers out there.
And there's a place for athleticism. There's a place to show what you can do. But yeah. When you're going out there and you have a 15-minute match and you're just using that 15 minutes to excuse it, to get your shit in, well, then that's not going to be memorable. Because then what are you going to do the next time that you go out there? And the time after that? And the time after that?
You have to light yourself on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like, all right, well, after you've seen me do it, and you've seen it a second time and a third time, well, guess what? The fourth time isn't going to feel like the first time. And I kind of brought this up. I think I brought it up during break. I don't think I brought this up on the air. But, Mark, you would appreciate this. And it would drive me up a wall and drive me crazy. Odell Beckham Jr., okay? There was a highlight that for years, whenever they talked about Odell Beckham Jr. and one of the great highlights of the year, they would show this one-handed catch that Odell had against the Cowboys. And time again, he would have they showed this one-handed catch that he had for a touchdown over and over. Oh, that was the greatest catch I've ever seen. And oh my gosh. Well, you know what, Mark? The Giants lost that game.
They so lost the damn game. They did.
They lost the game. So, you know, when that game was over, if you're a Giant fan and that game was over, are you like, oh, my God, what a great game. Did you see that catch by Odell Beckham Jr.? No, they were pissed off because they lost to the Dallas Cowboys. So that catch didn't mean a damn thing because you lost the game. So what would you rather have, a pretty catch or a win?
A win.
A win!
I'm glad you used a football analogy. It's so refreshing.
No, but it's true, Mark. Now, it's pretty and it looks nice, but you know what? If you're going to go out there and just make pretty catches, at the end of the day, you got to win. Because then, you know what? If you don't win, didn't really mean anything. The catch didn't really mean anything. The touchdown didn't really mean anything.
And that's the same thing with some of these Canadian destroyers and super kicks and planches through the ropes to the floor. And somebody got choke slammed. Was it Sasha Banks got choke slammed to the floor? And I'm like, what the hell? Like, if you're going to do something like that, have that be the reason that you lose. Have that, like, make stuff make sense as it relates to what you're doing in the ring. Because now I have something, oh, her back is hurt. She got choke slammed to the floor. She tries her finish. She can't hold her finish because she keeps reaching for her back and she gets rolled up. Now that tells you're telling stories. And it's easier in your body will last longer. I regret, Dave, I was telling my wife last week, I did so many leg drops and ass bumps that it destroyed my lower vertebrae. I'm going to have surgery eventually. I'm just sucking it up because I'm still young. Well, relatively young. But I don't want them to be in the situation that I'm in. I don't want their back to be jacked up from taking 500 leg drops and ass bumps and bumps to the floor. I took a couple of F5s to the floor and I tore my hip flexor. I never had surgery on it. It's like, why? When he could have did 10 of them in the ring, I would have, if I could go back in time, I would not have said, hey, Brock, I want you to F5 me on the floor. Hell, I said I wanted it. Not now. Hindsight is 20/20. Young people, protect your bodies is protecting your livelihood as well as your quality of life when the game is over. And Father Time is undefeated. We will all have to retire and move away from what we love so much, which is this game. But in the process, learn to tell stories. It'll lengthen your career as well as make your quality of life better.
You know what, Mark? I love the point that you make because, again, this is why the dynamic is so beautiful. Because, Mark, you're talking about it as a professional athlete. Like, a lot of these things, a lot of these moves, a lot of these maneuvers are doing it just for the sake of doing it, and you're putting your body on the line. And at the end of the day, it wasn't very memorable, and it didn't really end. It didn't really kind of affect the end of the match. So it's forgettable. So right. Why are you putting your body on the line? And like what you're saying is, hey, young athletes, protect
There's
your body.
There's a time for it. There's Have a time look. For it. Listen, that the everybody remembers seeing me. They show that all the time on the bumpers. Me getting F5'd on the floor or me getting F5'd through an announce table. Like, there's a time for it. But you can't do that every night. Me and Brock only did that once. We had 30 or 40 matches against each other. And we only did that one time out of the 40. So, like, it made sense. It escalated to that point. Like, build, guys. Slowly make stuff build. The psychology of wrestling is where it is. That's why The Undertaker got emotional, because he got to see what was entertaining to him, and it had probably been so long that he was like, damn, that's what it's about. That's what it's about.
The Yak and Barack Show.
When your first step to resolve something is go to social media or to go to a public forum to vent, I think that just makes you take two steps backwards in even trying to resolve it in the first place, you know? So I just think not just boxing media, boxing promoters, and boxers should refrain from letting social media be the place we, you know, where we hold court.
Weekdays from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern, only on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
New segment, first ever. That's right, Mark. We're bringing an outsider into our inner circle and becoming part of the Busted Open Nation and our Busted Open family. It's somebody that I truly respect. When I heard this segment was going down, there was one guy I thought of, because the word credibility comes to my mind when I think of this man, and it's the one and only Justin Labar. Justin, how are you, man?
How could I not be great after an intro like that? Jeez, Dave.
Well, you can see Justin at all of the WWE press conferences, yep, and WrestleMania fobs. Like, he's a seasoned vet. He's a seasoned vet.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, Mark, does he still put you over like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah. The beginning of every show, man. At the beginning of every show. We put that's all we do.
I know you deserve that. You got a Hall of Fame ring that says so.
Actually, this show should be called Putting You Over, because all we do is put each other over all the show.
Except when Bully's on. when Bully's on, you'll be accused of chasing the hug. So, you know, it's we keep the pleasantries to a minimum.
Yes, that's right.
If Bully was on, I feel like I would have been kicked off by now.
Oh, you'd be gone.
Yeah, no, you,
you'd have been like, hey, hi. Oh, all right, that's enough.
But Justin, welcome to Bust It Open. I know of a lot of our fans already know you, are fans of your work, you know, judging from social media when they heard that the segment was going to be starting today. So I'm glad that the nation is speaking out and they're happy about this new segment. And I'm happy about it too, Justin, because, you know, as you know, I'm a big fan of your work. And like Mark said, you know, at the press conferences, it's funny, at the press conference, you're always the one with the first question. You get the first question. In, they expect it at this point, so it's good to have you here on Busted Open, Justin.
Thank you. Yeah, I try. You try to get up there.
So, how much did you pay Triple H to get that spot?
You know, a few pleasantries here, a few pleasantries there. the going rate changes each year. No. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, Dave. It was great. The positive social media response yesterday from the Busted Open Nation, which and the people that supported me, was awesome. So I was very much looking forward to this. Like I said to you off camera and off air, I appreciate being thought of, and I'm excited to do this with you guys. This should be fun.
All right, so let's dive right in. And one thing I wanted to bring up with you, Justin, is the fact that, you know, we don't really dive into the numbers when it comes to certain ratings for certain shows because it's so difficult to do. But one positive, and there's been a lot of changes with Monday Night Raw, that there definitely was an increase with the ratings. And also, Justin, and you would know better than me, it seemed like it was pretty consistent throughout the first 3 hours of the show.
Yeah, and that's the word, Dave, is consistent. You know, it's no secret that WWE's viewership, especially for Raw particularly, you know, the flagship show as it's always been named, it's seen a decline. It's seen a decline, and it's not just, unfortunately, you can't just label it as a victim of the pandemic, which in some conversations you think that might help it. You know, people are stuck at home, and how much news can you watch? You know, there's no sports, but unfortunately, it's been trending this way even prior to the pandemic, with viewership going down. But there was some good news this past week. Obviously, it was the first week with some new day-to-day leadership on the Raw side of creative and Bruce Pritchard. But this week's show, for overall, with its viewership, it was the best since the post-WrestleMania 36 episode. And this week, this past week, drew an average of 1.939 million viewers. Now, that's up 11%. From just the previous week. And that's wow, that's a big jump for 1 week.
Yeah.
And now the first, you know, the first hour, you know, that's your base. That's what you're starting with. And that first hour, yeah, it's lower than what the viewership was a year ago this time. It's lower than what it was 2 years ago. You're not going to just jump that first hour overnight. You know, unless you announce that The Rock or Stone Cold or somebody like that's coming, you're not going to change overnight. You have to earn those back. But the important thing is, see what your base is in hour one and try to sustain that. Try not to lose them. And they did a pretty good job. You know, the first hour had 1.982 million. The second hour, 1.996 million. And then when they got to that critical third hour, 1.838. So there was a slight drop, but they really did hold the majority of their audience. And I think, you know, what you guys think, if you look at this Raw this past week, there was good storytelling, you know, from the opening segment, the return of Christian, and now this tease, this proposition of an unsanctioned match. So now you know he's got to answer that, and that's your main event spot. So now I got a reason to stick around. You know, we get I Want a Divorce from Bobby Lashley. You know, we get dissension amongst the ranks with Zelina Vega's crew. You know, we're getting title matches. Like, there were things that you needed to see. Unfortunately, there's been other episodes of Raw where I could just read a recap and I'd probably be just as well informed. Mm-hmm. That's not a knock on the bell-to-bell action, because the bell-to-bell action has never suffered. These guys and girls put it out there, but it's, does that bell-to-bell matter? What's that winner? What's that story matter? And this past week was the best I've seen recently, and the numbers say the best since April, that I've seen of a woven three-hour story being told here.
See, this is really interesting. Go ahead, Mark.
You know, when you started talking about they maintain the crowd, that is easy to get a crowd if you make an announcement that some big time star is going to be on. Christian is right there in that category. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great talent. But it wasn't the fact that Christian was on. It was the fact that they teased that unsanctioned match. And people are going, well, wait a minute. What is unsanctioned? Christian has not been cleared to wrestle. So it had to be an agreement between Christian and the WWE. And that was the story. When you start a program off with, we're going to tell you what's going to happen at the end, but you don't give the solution. You just let it know, let everybody know that that's what's going to happen. And I was curious to see what was going to happen. The whole story of seeing Ric Flair trying to convince Christian that this was not a smart thing to do. That also was another big name that reeled people in and kept them engaged. They did a really good job of keeping everybody on the edge of their seat. And I think that's one of the reasons that the rating went up is they manipulated the crowd.
No, absolutely, Mark. And they had, you know, and they were able to manipulate maybe even easier or with an advantage because of what the recent history has shown. You know, we've just seen Edge come back, a guy who we were told is medically disqualified. Mm-hmm. We've seen Daniel Bryan come back a couple years ago. So, you know, as you're watching this, you're going, well, I mean, it is possible. We have case study and context that maybe this guy has rehabbed and feels okay to do a match. And so, yeah, to your point, Mark, you know, bringing in a Ric Flair, you know, somebody like that, you know, who's had his own history of when's his last match, is he done, is he not done, what have you. This was really well done, and you're right, there was no advertisement for this prior to, you know, sometimes I waver on the line of, you know, what's the benefit of not advertising something, because it can be harder to make money off things you don't advertise, you don't promote ahead of time. But I think the way they executed this was really well done, and again, the viewership in context, relatively speaking, rewards them and says so.
Now, you mentioned Zelina Vega before. I know somebody who she's an advocate for, Angel Garza, here on Busted Open. We're very high on Angel Garza, but it sounds like somebody pretty high up in the WWE seems to be high on him as well.
Yeah, Angel Garza, the word that keeps coming back around from people who you know, are reporting and keeping tabs on this is that Vince McMahon, you know, the guy, this specific report this week coming from Alex McCarthy of Talk Sport, saying that, you know, Vince is very high on Garza, which, you know, that can you know, that can be seen by, you know, just watching Garza perform, you can buy into that. And then, you know, he's been thrusted into a consistent and regular story with Vega, and now maybe they're teasing a possible split between Garza and Andrade. I get it. I will say this. One of the toughest things I think that Garza's facing could also be a biggest reward is that, and Vince himself even acknowledged this on an investor call in the spring, is that Raw has such an influx right now of new talent and new names that they're trying to establish. You know, Garza, Andrade, even Apollo Crews, who's been there for years, but he's just now getting a title. He's just now getting, you know, a regular push. Even you can even make a case for the world champion and Drew McIntyre. You know, these are all names who it's not like they've been on the
Austin
top of the card.
Austin
Theory, exactly. So Garza's having to, you know, rise above and stand out in this new line of relative unknown. But if he can do that successfully now, that's going to probably prove he's got some, he's got some longevity here. I will laugh though, that the part of the report here from Alex, quote even says that it's been heard that Vince has referred to him as a young Eddie Guerrero. And I mean, that's a hell of a compliment. I laugh though, because I hear on Monday, I'm hearing this and watching social media. Oh, Garza, he's a young Eddie Guerrero. Then I watch Wednesday Impact and I hear Jim Ross, Sammy Guevara, he's a young Eddie Guerrero. I'm expecting to wake up on Friday and hear Dave LaGreca, he's a young Eddie Guerrero. It's like, let's mix up our comparison.
I'm not young, Justin. I would be an old Eddie Guerrero. But I hear what you're saying. But you know what? To get that kind of nod from somebody like Vince McMahon and to be compared to somebody who's a legend like Eddie Guerrero, now that puts a lot of pressure on Angel Garza. But just to get noticed in that pool of a lot of young talent, Justin, that's big.
There's about every 15 years, you have this period in pro wrestling where things start to reset, and we're at that point right now. You see all of the guys that are my age retiring and going away. And then you see all the new guys, the new influx of guys coming in. That's just the world that we live in right now. And this, you know, they weren't keeping ratings the last probably 40 years or 50 years. But that's where we are now. I think that within a year or two, it'll start to balance out. You'll know who the Adam Coles and you'll know who the Keith Lees and all of the guys that are coming from NXT. I remember when Randy Orton and Batista and John Cena and Shelton Benjamin and all of these guys that came from Ohio Valley Wrestling, it took about a 5-year period for them to get rolling. So here we are. We're right at that 3-year mark. And I think that in the next year or two, we'll have bona fide stars that people know who they are and what to expect from them. And the business will go on as usual.
Mark, you were kind of a unique case when you came into the WWE with your background and just how it kind of the timeline, how it happened. Was there any star from the previous era that they, Vince or anybody ever tried to label? Oh, Mark Henry, this guy's a young fill in the blank.
No, I never got any of that. I got thrown right into the fire. So the difference, there was no developmental system. There wasn't a place where you could go and just train and take your time getting acclimated to what it is. Thank God for Ohio Valley Wrestling and the Performance Center, you know, FCW, like all of these developmental systems that existed, you know, Dory Funk's Funkin' Dojo. Like you wrestlers need that acclimating time. And now I expect when I see a new wrestler come out of NXT, I expect them to be champion soon. And the history has proved that. The guys that have come up within a year or two, they're in the running for a title of some sort. So let's hope that that's what's going to be happening now.
And Justin, it seems like after SmackDown, we got SmackDown tonight, but it seems after SmackDown from last week, excuse the pun, but it sounds like Fox was a little pissed off about the segment between Jeff Hardy and Sheamus last week.
Yeah, pissed off rather than pissed on.
There you go.
Yeah, this one. So, you know, Dave Meltzer on his Wrestling Observer Radio, he kind of noted this, that the Fox officials reportedly not happy with that Jeff Hardy Sheamus segment where the cup of urine was thrown into to Sheamus's face. The quote being the Fox officials decreed that the angle violated their standards and practices. Wouldn't you think that here? You know, it's I don't know what it says. You know, I've been a fan of pro wrestling sports entertainment for 30 years as you guys have your lengthy tenure of fanship and working in the business. I guess we just get a little numb because to me it's like, well, just another sports entertainment angle here, you know. But I guess if I look at it from the Fox's point of view, it's like, you know, you're the Fox executive and you're like, all right, well, oh, UFC, oh, the press conference broke down there. They got in a fight. Ah, but we have something for that. The NFL, that guy, the linebacker targeted the quarterback's head. Oh, well, we got something for that. And then your assistant comes in and says, Jeff Hardy threw a cup of piss in Sheamus' face. What the hell? You know, you don't have something for that.
But what are you I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, maybe they didn't see the pig pen match back in the day. Maybe they didn't see all of the spoofs that have gone on through history where people have been put in poop of some sort. Like the pro wrestling is everything encompassed. It's not highbrow. And if you're looking for highbrow entertainment, you got better create it yourself, because pro wrestling, we delve into the gutter.
Mark, thank you for, I mean, I was starting to feel for a minute that maybe I'm just, you know, maybe my moral standards are just really, really low here, but no, it's you're right. It's the nature of the entertainment. I mean, to the point of it aired on the East Coast. And that was the first time the Fox people were seeing it, and they pulled it from the West Coast feed. They threw a commercial in just before the urine toss happened.
So wait a second. I didn't know that. So that's true. So they cut it out of the West Coast feed.
They did.
Wow.
They did. So that, I mean, so that kind of, you know, that gives
breaking news.
Yeah.
Well, it's not breaking news to me, but
yeah. But, you know, so just to the report of what Meltzer's saying, and that, you know, it backs up there that the Fox pulled it. And, but, you know, like Mark is saying, I mean, had they never watched anything prior? I mean, I understand that, you know, and all the hype and all of the $1 billion deal hype that we talked about leading up to SmackDown moving to Fridays on Fox, you know, we heard and kind of somewhat assumed that Fox wanted a more sports oriented, you know, getting a little bit more onto wins and losses, a little bit different presentation than maybe what Raw had been. And maybe in some ways we've gotten that in little pieces if you analyze. But this, I guess this is the first time since October, I guess WWE really just went back to that, as Mark said, that low brow in the gutter.
Old receiving. School.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. But you know what? But Mark and Justin, this is really interesting. This is an interesting story to me, because what did Fox expect that they were getting? Because this is a network that had Married with Children. This is a network that has, you know, The Simpsons. So, I mean, you know, a splash of urine in the face, you know, isn't really a lot compared to some of the stuff that we've seen on their shows in the past. But at the same time, Justin, it sounds like, hey, they're looking at SmackDown as a part of their Fox Sports family.
Yes.
So not necessarily their entertainment family. So I think that's probably where the divide is, Justin.
And you hit the nail on the head, Dave. That's my thought too. And I don't know for sure. That's something certainly to try to look into, but I guess that the executives that are probably overseeing and keeping tabs with the program, with Vince, maybe Bruce Pritchard, are the ones who oversee the category of their sports program. It's not the same people that do look at, you know, the Simpsons and some of the traditional entertainment scripted programming. So and maybe that's something that Fox will find as they are locked in for this deal for, I think, was it 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that Fox will find. Well, you know what? Maybe our sports execs shouldn't be overseeing the standards and practices guidelines of this. Maybe we need to give it to the more entertainment based. I don't know. But that's something certainly to watch here as we are, you know, still in year one of this long-term relationship.
Good point.
Yeah. And it's week one of our relationship with Justin Labar. Mark, I thought Justin did an awesome job today. What do you think?
Hell of a job. To quote Pat Patterson, it was awesome. Hanging from the rafters. They go banana.
Hey, Mark. Do you think Fox's standards and practices would have been okay with sexual chocolate?
Hell no. The WWE barely was able to get sexual chocolate on TV. Sexual chocolate would get them kicked off. Man, they made a chocolate sundae out of me before. Oh my gosh, it's too much.
Oh my gosh. Well, Justin, thank you so much. I don't know if you have any Father Day memories when it comes to pro wrestling, because that seems to be the theme for today's show.
You know, honestly, none really with my dad. A great dad, but he would come to a wrestling event maybe if they were serving beer. You know, but no, he wasn't real big into wrestling. I will say the first time that I had a big it's not a Father's Day, but it's the best memory I have with my dad relating to wrestling is that the first big match that I got to work with when working on the independent scene in 2011, it was the payoff, and it was on iPay-per-view to like a year-long storyline with Pro Wrestling Ohio, was me managing Kevin Nash in a main event match, and on the other side of the ring was a guy named Brody Lee. And I got my mom and my dad and now my wife, and they all came out, flew to Cleveland, they had front row, and like my dad actually like gave me like a wow, like I'm pretty, like this is pretty cool, I'm pretty proud of you. And like he never really got in or understood or appreciated the art that is pro wrestling. So when he said that was a huge, like a big moment to me. But nah, nothing with my dad. I will say my 5-year-old daughter,
that was good.
Actually a really good memory, Justin.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, it was in August, so it wasn't Father's Day, but that's a good bonding memory that I have there, that he came out to Cleveland and took time off to come out on a Sunday and watch this thing. And but
how old is your daughter?
My daughter's 5, and she does like to saddle up and watch a little wrestling from time to time with me. She actually, there is a La Greca head somewhere in the studio, and she always makes note of Dave the head as she comes into this room of the studio. So
I see you got a lot of memorabilia back there. What's the thing you're the most proud of?
Oh, I have an old I have a world title belt. The title belt they switched to right as Stone Cold beat Shawn at Mania 14, and that was the last of the Wing Eagles.
The Wings.
Well, the Wing one, they did away with that, and they moved to the new bigger one, the one that Steve hated because it actually cut him when he tried to do a stunner. I have that in another room signed by Kurt Angle, so that's pretty nice. I actually have a WrestleMania 36 chair when nobody could go to WrestleMania 36.
Unused. Wow, not used.
I have a Raw, my guys, Ticket Drew and Statboy Jeff, we all went to the Raw in the Manhattan Center in 2018. I have that chair over here, which I love that because I never thought in my lifetime I'd get to watch a Raw for the Manhattan Center. So to be third row watching that, that was a huge, to see The Undertaker come out in the Manhattan Center.
Cool. That's cool.
So just different chairs and memories like that.
Well, the next time you do this segment, Justin, if you could find the LaGreca head and put it up there on display, that would be nice. Represent. There we go. There he is.
There we go.
I miss seeing that, Justin, with no fans. I miss seeing the LaGreca head on these shows, Justin.
I think that, we saw in like Korea, they were doing baseball and they put a bunch of cardboard cutouts of fans to have baseball. I think that we should do a whole bunch of Dave cutouts and just fill the PC with it. We're ready to go, right?
I mean, I'm trying to get on Cody's good side. So we got Scott in Long Island made a special Cody Rhodes busted open head. So, Cody, if you're listening, we got a Cody Rhodes head on display for today's show. Though he banned me from AEW, Justin. Maybe you can help me with that. Maybe you could get that ban lifted. You have that. You have stroke. You have power.
I'll see what I can do with Cody. I will say, though, in AEW, I know that Dr. Britt Baker, I was just talking to her yesterday, she said she loves you. She is a huge LaGreca mark. So,
yeah, well, she's trying to get the ban lifted. Hasn't happened yet. But, maybe the two of you working together, that would be good for me. Justin, awesome first.
I'll be your advocate.
Please. I mean, you did Scott Hall, now Dave LaGreca. It's a bit of a drop off, but, there you go. Justin, thank you so much. I thought this was awesome. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
Absolutely. See you guys next week. Thank you very much.
All right, Justin Labar, in his first ever segment, Rumor Roundup here on Busted Open. Mark, I thought Justin was damn good.
I thought he was good, and it didn't piss you off, didn't piss me off. I'm sure Bully is still hot.
Listen, it's week one, Mark. I'm sure by week 11, we're going to hate the fucking guy. All right, we'll get some reaction about Justin's first spot. Plus, we're sharing some memories about Father's Day. It's a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. So everything is on the table, Mark.
Everything and anything that's on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday counts.
The biggest names in the combat sports world are on MMA Tonight.
Cody Garbrandt joins us. I got to the title fast, under 2 years in the UFC, won the world championship, trailblazed to the top. This time is going to be way more strenuous, way more sacrifice. And I just said, are you prepared to throw it all in and erase the last few years and what happened, go from there? Once I had that hard part with myself and stopped really making excuses or just got back to the hard work, the simplest form of hard work pays off. Happy to be back, excited to have those feelings back inside the octagon, back to loving it and then just working hard for it.
Tuesday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern.
Someone who's given us a lot of memories over the years, over the decades, is The Undertaker. We were so pleased, Mark, a few weeks ago to have The Undertaker here on our show, which was fantastic. Yeah. Great interview with The Undertaker for the first time here on the 11-year history of Busted Open. And we're seeing the documentary being played out on the WWE Network on Sunday, Mark. Chapter 5, the final chapter of this Last Ride documentary series about The Undertaker. And it's the build-up to the match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania 36. And I'm wondering, Mark, if on Sunday we're going to find out if that was the last match for The Undertaker, or is there one last match planned in, obviously, a first ballot Hall of Fame career for The Undertaker?
Man, I'm hoping that that's not the case, because I still think that from the day after WrestleMania, the first thing that was said was Mick Foley saying, man, sign it up. I want to have a match with The Undertaker next year. I wouldn't mind seeing that. let's give Mick a chance. I want to see Mick and Undertaker next year at WrestleMania.
if all right, let's a couple of things I want to look at in regards to what we're going to see on the last ride, Mark. If it is the Undertaker's last match, is that the way to go out like what we saw at WrestleMania 36?
You know, I'd like to see him in front of a crowd.
Okay. I
loved it. Really, really enjoyed it. But I need to see him get the respect on the way out from the fans. That's just my opinion.
You know what, Mark? I'm in agreement with you. Like, if you're going to have a career like The Undertaker has, and listen, you know, one of the highlights from WrestleMania 36 was definitely that Boneyard match with AJ Styles. But if you're going to have that one last match for The Undertaker, it needs to be in front of a crowd. You need to have that WrestleMania entrance, that long entrance that gives you chills and goosebumps. You need to have that. So if there's going to be one last match for The Undertaker, I agree with you, Mark. It needs to be in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I think that would be the thing that would make people feel like, you know what, I'm at peace with it. If he leaves and this is it, I think that people will go, damn, man, I didn't really get to really honor him and celebrate him and stand up and clap for him on his way out. I think that people will feel like they missed something. And I think justifiably so. I feel like I would miss something, and I want to be there. Dave, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very selfish. Yes, it's selfish. But I want to stand there and clap and cry and honor my guy on the way out.
Yeah, and I can see that, Mark, like his final match, like, you know, Michelle McCool being at ringside, like Hall of Famers, like yourself being at ringside, maybe some victims of the WrestleMania streak at ringside. Like, you know, I think The Undertaker deserves that. And I think The Undertaker deserves a standing ovation from 70,000 fans, too. When that can happen, Mark, who knows? I mean, this virus is kicking our asses, man. I mean, you know, like,
can you imagine that, though, Dave? All the living people that were involved in the streak coming out like with swords and just holding them across and him walking through the swords.
Wow.
Of all, man, like, it's got to be pageantry. It's got to be something like that. You got to honor and respect and have a lasting memory of him exiting. It can't, I mean, I love it. And no disrespect to WrestleMania, because you know how I feel about WrestleMania. But, and I don't know, man, am I coming off as selfish because I want to be there and I'm making it about me?
No, because I think the fans are probably thinking the same thing too, Mark. I think if you build, and let's just use WrestleMania as an example, it doesn't necessarily have to be WrestleMania, but let's just say, and boy, I hope and I pray that by the time WrestleMania 37 comes around, you know, in LA, that, you know, we're going to be able to attend WrestleMania and be a part of WrestleMania. You know, I hope and pray that that's a possibility. I think fans want to see that last match. That's all you have. You know what? To me, that sells WrestleMania 37. Undertaker's last ride, Undertaker's last match, the final time you'll ever be able to see The Undertaker. To me, I don't care what other matches are on that WrestleMania card. To me, that enough sells WrestleMania, and I know that I would want to be there to be able to be in person. Like, we're talking about Father's Day memories. That's something I would want my daughter to see. To me and my daughter together seeing Undertaker's last match. I know there are dads that want to bring their sons that want to bring their fathers, like, for that, because all the memories that man has given us, that character has given us throughout the years, I'm sure everybody would want to be a part of that last match.
You know what, Dave? I would even go so far as to say that the Undertaker's last match, they should allow as many guys that he wrestled to stand on opposite sides of the exit ramp from the ring all the way up to the ring, up to the gorilla position. Let guys stand there and salute him. I mean, however you want to do it. You want to do a military salute. You want to do a hand over your heart. Give him a thumbs up. Like, whatever. I mean, I'm not talking about just WWE talent. I'm talking about wrestling talent that got to be in the ring with the with Undertaker. To allow everyone the opportunity. And if you had guys from ROH or Impact or New Japan, AEW, MLW, you name a company, and you allow them to come and pay homage, that would not hurt your company. It wouldn't hurt your company. It's the same thing that I said about unifying wrestling right now for the Black Lives Matter. All companies should be able to stand together in solidarity. Black, white, every ethnicity on this planet. That's the way I feel. I think that we should all be able to celebrate the Undertaker. And I think that we all should be able to stand together in solidarity as wrestlers and wrestling fans for what's going on in the world today, because we want things to be right. We want people to love each other and respect each other. And there's no other way than to speak up for your brother, regardless of what color they are. And I think that that's what's needed. And to take it back to wrestling, which I always do, is I think that the solidarity of wrestling would work for The Undertaker. He belongs to all of us. Like, I mean, I told you, he's right in the middle on Mount Rushmore, right in the middle. He's the bridge between both sides.
Well, I agree with you that he needs that kind of send-off. I think he needs that one last match where he can have that send-off that he deserves. I agree with you in the fact that he is without a doubt the greatest character in the history of professional wrestling. And if you put all that on top of one another, Mark, if you have that last match and you have the victims of his streak lined up, giving him that final bow as he goes to the ring for his final match, when you have a ringside full of the legends acknowledging him as one of the legends, as he says goodbye to the world of pro wrestling, as we said in our interview, you know, he's the last thread of the pro wrestling that we grew up with, the age of kayfabe, and, you know, and now he's finally letting his guard down to do this documentary. I now ask you the final question in this puzzle that would be the final match.
Who would it be?
Yep. Who would it be? Who would it be? Because you really have to think it out.
I got an idea. I think there should be a tournament to see who would be the guy. The guy shouldn't be chose by just saying, oh, we're going to have Roman Reigns have a match with Taker. No, it should be, we're going to have a 16-person tournament that leads to who's going to be the one at WrestleMania and make it mean something. Think of all the matches that we could have. I'd come out of retirement and have my last match. I still haven't had my last match. I'd come out and have a match with somebody to be able to take a chance at being the Taker's last opponent. And I guarantee you there'd be Mick Foley. We can sit here and name 20 guys that'll do it. So, I mean, that's a given. That's easy. Let a tournament prove it.
So a tournament full of current and former legends vying for to be a part of the final match of The Undertaker maybe even at WrestleMania 37.
Yeah, yeah. How cool would that be?
That would actually be really cool.
Just to say I was a part of it. And it's that gift that keeps on giving. The Undertaker is on his way out, still giving life. That's crazy, man.
It's a great idea. You know why, Mark, it's a great idea? Because I really don't have an answer of who that wrestler should be.
Me neither.
I really don't. Like, do I want to see Sting and Undertaker? Yes. Ooh. It's one match that hasn't happened. The entrances would be phenomenal.
Put him in the tournament.
Yeah, but does Sting, like, does a match that I haven't seen, do you want a fantasy book Undertaker's final match? Should it be against an opponent that, you know, he's never faced, that is already in the Hall of Fame, and from all intents and purposes, career is over? Or should it be a younger talent that would get the push to the moon by being in the final match against the Undertaker? Should it be a character that's similar to the Undertaker? Should it be a match that we saw before with the Undertaker where there's still like a story to be told? You know, should it be somebody like Brock Lesnar who ended the Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania?
Put him in a tournament.
You know what? Take all the ideas, put it in a tournament to see who would face the Undertaker in their final match.
Let's fast forward through the tournament.
Okay.
Say Sting and Adam Cole are the last two. How awesome would that be? And you can do that with 16, 20 other guys. Just think of the options, the possibilities, the matchups to get the opportunity to be in the ring at the end. Say Adam Cole wins. He beats Sting. People are pissed. And Undertaker's having that match with Adam Cole. And it looks like Adam Cole is going to do something and possibly ruin the Undertaker winning his last match. And Sting shows up, distracts him. Adam Cole gets spiked. And then Sting comes in the ring and he gives Adam Cole his finish too. And Sting is able to pay homage to the Undertaker. That's wrestling. We tell stories. Allow the story to be told. That's what the Undertaker said. And if you don't have goosebumps from what I just said, you are dead inside.
Dead.
That is like you tell the stories. That's what a tournament will allow to happen. And it will be good TV for all of us.
I agree. I'm
fired up, man.
We'll find out. Maybe we'll find out some answers. The final chapter, The Undertaker's Last Ride. Will we get an answer? Have we seen the last of The Undertaker? Not even in the ring. I mean, if you look at it, the Boneyard match was hardly a quote-unquote match. Or is there one more left in him? Judging from what we heard last chapter, last Sunday, it seemed like he's done. We'll find out. Maybe we'll get some answers on Sunday.
This week on World of Basketball, Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Pangos, two former Gonzaga stars, joined our show, and Kelly spoke about his love of playing for the Canadian national team.
You know, it's an amazing feeling, something that I take a lot of pride in, you know, playing for your country, representing your country. And, you know, Canada's done, a lot for me. So has the United States, you know, giving you opportunities to do a lot of things in your life, giving you the opportunity to live a great life. And so it's, for me, it's kind of a way to give back to my country.
New episodes of World of Basketball are available every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
Not only can you hear Mark Henry on Busted Open, but you can also see him from time to time on Backstage, WWE Backstage. I think a very good episode this past Tuesday with Bret Hart. Some interesting comments too, Mark, from Bret Hart on Backstage.
Wow, man. You know what? The biggest one was he said that if he wished that he could have done it differently, and if he had, he would not have left the WWE and went to WCW. And think about all the people that, you know, after Brett left, all the people that came in. Imagine him still wrestling all of those guys and, you know, help bringing those guys along. Like, it would have been unbelievable. I thought another thing that was pretty impactful was the fact that he felt like he was set up to fail. Like, the guys that were the powers that be, he said Hogan was basically making all the decisions, and he made the decisions that benefited his friends rather than doing what was good for business. And I was like, wow. So, I mean, it didn't paint a pretty picture of Hogan and his regime.
It's interesting because reading Bret Hart's book, he praises Hogan because he talked about, you know, when you're on the card with Hulk Hogan, you definitely made more money than without Hogan on the card. And I've always said that. I've never been a big Hulk Hogan fan, but I will say this, that he did know how to generate a crowd. And I think he is, you know, one of the biggest stars in the history of pro wrestling. When you look at WCW with Bret Hart, I mean, first of all, nothing seemed to go right. They waited too long to put Bret Hart on TV. I mean, Bret Hart was, you know, so hot and fresh off the Montreal Screwjob that people wanted to see Bret Hart. And then to see Bret Hart as part of that Starrcade match with Sting and Hogan, it just didn't go. That match was a flop. The build was fantastic for that Starrcade match with Sting and Hogan, but I thought the ending was wonky. I thought Hogan got way too much offense in that match with Sting because it should have been all about Sting kicking Hulk Hogan's ass. But and then, you know, obviously with Goldberg, and Bret Hart's been vocal lately about Goldberg and how, you know, he didn't think that Goldberg was really safe in the ring, caused, you know, Bret that concussion and Bret Hart's career ending. Yeah, Bret Hart went from such an amazing Hall of Fame career in the WWF and didn't have that same career in WCW, Mark. But you can't really blame Bret Hart for leaving. The contract that he had with the WWF, that lifetime contract, you know, Vince McMahon wanted to change that contract, and WCW was throwing a lot of money at Eric Bischoff, and the WCW was throwing so much money at Bret Hart, hard to say no. So obviously I'm sure he would have changed it because not a lot of good in Bret Hart's WCW career, Mark.
And he didn't get respected and revered over there. Like, he didn't get the, he said, he mentioned, I had a lot to offer. Like, not just for me, but just my knowledge and understanding of what the business required and what I could do to help make people better. And they didn't allow me to do that. It was like I was set up to fail.
Wow. I mean, and strong words.
That's heavy. That's really heavy.
That is definitely heavy. Backstage, they give you nuggets, man. You've been awesome on backstage, by the way, Mark.
Yes, thank you very much, Dave. I will be on this Tuesday as well.
All right, awesome. Awesome. Make sure you tune in to WWE Backstage on FS1 Tuesday night.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.